Maybe if couples have two, you can kind of switch about, or yeah. So I think we got it taken care of. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, you know, we've been talking about, as I said, the fruit of the Spirit. We'll review that in 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So as we see this in opening up to the disciples' personality, I wanted to also read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's just back a few pages in your Bible. Starting with verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, or the man outside of Christ, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Going into chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? The disciples' personality, the opening question to this that I have is, how can I develop Christ-likeness? And the answer is, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can develop Christ-likeness. We say that we want to be like Jesus Christ. And sometimes people will try to do that in their own power, trying to do it in their own ability. And it's just not possible to do it that way. But when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work within us, the next slide will show us Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. God working in us. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will check us when we need to be checked. The Holy Spirit will admonish us when we need to be admonished. The Holy Spirit will do those things that communicate to us where we are. Another great thing the Holy Spirit does when we're in the right place and we're doing the right thing, he will evaluate that and let us know that we're doing the right thing. And so whether negative or positive, the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And if the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, it should come out to being a positive thing. The next slide gives us a view of man. When man was created, God created man. It says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. And when he, as he became a living soul, God gave him not only a soul, but also a body. And the body is the outer skin. It's our space suit. It's what we use in this present life. And then there's the soul. That's where we find the mind, will, and emotions. That's where we have our senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And so we operate in the world with these things. But what's missing in that picture is the Spirit. And the Spirit of God comes into man. Josh, there you go. The Spirit of God comes into man, and that's where we have life. Now, when Adam was created, he was created with body, soul, and spirit. But what happened after that? The fall of man occurred, sin came into the race, and because of sin coming into the race, the Spirit of God, I need you to move on, there you go. Satan came into the life of man, and the Spirit was removed. God was not present with man at that time, and Satan was in control. Now, folks, if any lost person in the world today, that lost person does not have the Spirit of God in them. That's why the scriptures say he or she is dead. They are dead because they do not have the Spirit of God living within them. The reference to them being dead refers to their spirit. And when you're witnessing to a lost person, you have to realize you're witnessing to a lost person who doesn't understand spiritual things. And it's only through the Holy Spirit of God working in that person's heart that that lost person will finally realize who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. And then in faith, they will give their lives to Jesus. So the fall of man happened, and God saw that there was a need for something to change, and that need was going to be Jesus coming to die for us. At that point, man found salvation. You say, well, what about Adam? Well, you remember when God came looking for Adam and Eve, and he couldn't find them, and he called them, and they didn't want to present themselves because they were naked. But no longer were they enshrouded by the glory of God. And so God went looking for them. That was the first missionary endeavor. God was the first missionary going to find Adam. And you remember what God did. He realized Adam's penitent heart, and he killed an animal, shedding blood, and he covered Adam and Eve with those animal skins. Adam was forgiven. But moving forward, the promise of Jesus was given way back in Genesis chapter 3. And the promise of Jesus that he would come and that he would die on a cross. And because of his finished work, then we could go free. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For we are saved by grace." It's because of the grace of God that he sent Jesus. It's because of the grace of God that the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we are in a lost condition. God seeking, moving, doing all He can to reach us because He loves us so much. I haven't had this frog since last Sunday morning. Thank you. Don't know why he came back, but he did. He loves me, that's right. I don't love him, though. The salvation of man took place. Notice what happens. The Spirit of God comes in. The Spirit of God comes in and takes residence in man's heart. And because of that, then man can be in touch with God again. But notice also that man is open to Satan. People say, well, I get saved, I shouldn't be open to Satan anymore. But we are. And that's why we need the Spirit. Thank you, brother. That's why we need the Spirit of God living in us. Because every day of our existence, Satan is trying to communicate something to us. Although we are believers, and although we're covered in the blood, Satan is still trying to defeat us as Christians. He can't get our soul anymore, any longer, but he can affect our lives. He can cause us to fall to temptation. Now, when I say he causes us to do it, we're the ones who make the decision to fall to temptation. But he presents the temptation. And that temptation is strong. And we have to have the Spirit of God within us to say, no, I know that's a temptation of Satan, and I'm not going to fall to that. So as we think about being open there, that thing about the flesh comes in. The scripture that I read to you. Now here on this slide, you see the natural man that was mentioned in chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man is open to Satan, but he does not have the Spirit. Look at the picture to the left of the slide. That man is dejected. He's confused. He doesn't know what to do in life because he doesn't have Jesus. He doesn't have the Lord living in his heart. Now the next slide will show us the carnal Christian. And I want to stay here for a little bit. Because many times people will get saved and they'll say, oh, well, I'm okay now. And you know, as far as your soul's concerned, you are in a good standing. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians says. But as a carnal Christian, I've had people tell me, there's no such thing. Well, I say, well, what you going to do with chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians? Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. Read it. I ask him, I said, do you believe what Paul says? Paul says there's carnal Christians. These are Christians who are not following the Spirit as much as they are Satan. But notice, a carnal Christian is open both to God and Satan. Open to both of them. They'll listen to God, and they'll listen to Satan. And that can be a problem. You're getting two different messages. You say, well, how can I know? How can I know what I'm hearing is from God or from Satan? Well, the things that you hear, now, the way you hear these things, you know whose voice you hear? you hear your own voice. Well, again, a little psychology here, but it's biblically based. When we think, when we assimilate information, we talk to ourselves. We hear the voice, and it's our voice. God can be speaking to you, and you'll hear it in your voice. Satan can be speaking to you, and you'll hear it in your voice. How do you separate that? You separate that by walking in the Spirit. You separate that by knowing what the Word of God says. When your self-talk tells you something, and you get to thinking, wait a minute, that can't be right. I read about this in the Word, and the Word prohibits this, or the Word of God discourages this, or the Word of God says the best thing to do in that situation is this. Well, if any of those messages come through, then you know that was not of God. God will never contradict His Word. When God speaks, that message will be in agreement with the Word of God. Now, you need to know the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I didn't go to school. I didn't study all this like you did. Look, every believer is supposed to know the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. And you can know the Word of God by reading it. Not only reading it, you can hear it being preached. You can hear it being taught. But primarily through reading. Reading the Word of God. I know, guys, the men, they'll say to me, in counseling, I'll assign books to couples, and the wife will read the whole book in 2 days. And the husband, he'll come back, did you read the book? Well, blah, 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 blah. He makes an excuse, and I can't even hear him because he's so ashamed. No, he didn't read the book. Now, I know some guys who like to read, but the majority of men don't like to read. But when it comes to the Bible, you ought to be so in love with the Word of God, you want to read it. Because the Word of God gives testimony of Jesus. Now, do you love Jesus? You want to learn more about Him, don't you? You want to walk with Him, don't you? Well, the best way to do that is to read His Bible. Read the Word of God. That way you won't be a carnal Christian. Carnality, that we get the word flesh out of that, but it's not talking about flesh like our skin that we can bruise and bump and all that. It's talking about the inner self. It's talking about the soul. It's talking about the mind, will, and emotions. Mind, will, and emotions. That's where we assimilate everything. Every message comes in through the senses. That's on the outside. And comes into the inside and goes through the mind. First, the mind takes care of the information. And then the mind sends it on to the will. You make a decision. That's where you make your decisions. In the will, but then the emotions come in. That's when people say, they used to say years ago, if it feels good, do it. See, that was based in the flesh. That was based in the emotions. If you're making your decisions based on your emotions, you don't have good decision-making skills. But what you need to be doing is have your mind so saturated in the Word of God that when something comes in, some information comes in through your mind, and you're thinking about it, and you're trying to decide what you're going to do with that information. You know, today, when you decided to come to church, you thought, am I going to church today? Some people probably got up this morning and said, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going to go back to bed. But other people said, oh, it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. He's blessed me. I'm going to church. That happened in the will. And what you want to do, if it's church, if it's Christian service, whatever it is, if it's loving your family, you need your will so saturated in the Word of God that it's not your will, but it's God's will that you're doing. Now, whenever you can switch out your will and replace it with God's will, you're going to be okay. What did Jesus say in the model prayer? Thy will be done. Jesus demonstrated that. Father, not my will, but your will. And that's the attitude we've got to have. Good mental health rides along these lines. Because when we're spiritually healthy, we can be mentally healthy. The mind, the will, and the emotions. So that's the carnal Christian. Let's go to the next slide. The spiritual Christian. When we think of the spiritual Christian, I think of Galatians 2:20. And we'll go to that in just a minute. But I just want you to see this slide. Notice the difference. At the bottom of the slide where Satan is, it's closed. No communication from Satan going on. Where God is, where the Spirit is, that's wide open. And notice, everything is contained within the cross. The mind, the will, the emotions. You've been put under the blood and you're living like it. You're living like you've been put under the blood. When you live in a carnal fashion, you're not living like you belong to God. But you do belong to God. It confuses people around you. When they see a carnal Christian, they're confused. And they'll say about you, well, if that person's a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. If you're out there cursing, drinking, running around with other women, gambling. By the way, state lottery is gambling. If you're doing these things and you're a Christian, you're confusing a lot of people. Go to the next slide. Oh, notice, wait a minute, go back. Notice the guy, the spiritual Christian. He's just full of joy. That's a picture of Perry Thompson. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay, Josh, go to the next slide. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right. That's what it means to be living in the Spirit, to be walking in the Spirit. We need to have that victory. Let's talk about the disciples' victory. Next slide. The disciples' victory. How can I be victorious in my life as a disciple? And I just put one answer: by being on our knees, by being in prayer, talking to God day in, day out. When temptations come, talk to God. When we feel like we're defeated, talk to God. When we become afraid, talk to God. When we think everybody's against us, talk to God. If you get sick, talk to God. If you have a burden over one of your children or some other loved one, talk to God. Everything, in everything, talk to God. Ask Him for His will to be done. Ask Him for His leadership. Ask Him for His power. Ask Him for His protection. Constantly, all during the day, talking to God. James Steele Helms was a unique man. And there were several times that he was up before the church giving a testimony, giving a report on Brazil, or something had brought him to the front of the church and he was talking. And that man could go from talking to the church to talking to God seamlessly. I'd be listening to him. He was talking to us. And then he'd say, "Oh, Father." I'd say, "Well, he's praying now." And then he'd come out of that and be talking to us again. This is what I think was going on with James Steele. He was so used to talking to God. He didn't separate it. He didn't separate it from talking to God or talking to other people. He just glide right into it. That's how we need to be. Every time a decision comes up, ask God. "Oh, well, preacher, you know, these little small decisions in my life, I don't want to bother God. He's busy." Talk to God. Sometimes it's the little stuff that'll mess you up. Always talk to God. But a disciple's victory is achieved through prayer. Then the next slide is the spiritual armor. All of y'all have read this over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. We're not going to turn there. But by praying, by allowing the Spirit to speak to us, we literally put on the armor of God. Now, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoes, the gospel shoes, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth, all of these represent Jesus Christ. All the way through, that's Jesus. Every point in that armor represents Jesus. Now, there's different classifications or different works that are going on there. But that gives it to you. There's salvation, there's faith, there's the giving of the gospel, there's the Word of God, there's the righteousness we have in Christ, and the truth that we know who is Christ. And because we know that truth, we don't have to live carnal life. That's the mind, will, and emotions again. Our mind, will, and emotions are under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we need that. The next slide, the disciples' mission. How can I develop spiritual multipliers and co-laborers in my areas of ministry? By making disciples. I was so glad to see the book that Marty had, and he was talking about Sunday school classes using that book. In Sunday school, that's a time of disciple making. Maybe you have an accountability partner that you work with, and that accountability partner is perhaps mentoring you. We've done that in many cases here in our church. I know in our men's group, we've done that at different times. And there's all kinds of ways that you can do disciple making. But that's what we need more of. We need more people who are laborers in the field. And the way that happens, first of all, we got to be walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, we'll know what to do. We'll know where to go. We'll know what God wants in our lives. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many people here really know what God wants you to do with your life? God will tell you. When you commit yourself 100% to God, and you commit yourself 100% to His ministry, He'll tell you what He wants you to do. You don't have to wonder. But one way of finding that out is to be a disciple. Then the next slide, principles for multiplying disciples. I want to challenge you with these three things. First of all, be a good example of Jesus Christ. Walk in the flesh. That's how you can be the best example of Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Yep. That's my tongue getting ahead of my brain. Walk in the Spirit. You got that? To be a good example of Jesus. And what's some things we can do? How can we be a good example of Jesus? Well, like right now, we know that there are people in South Carolina who are hurting. We can pray for them. We can go down and do volunteer work. We can send money to the Red Cross. It's as easy as going to Harris Teeter. And they'll when you make your purchase, they'll say, "Would you like to make a donation to the Red Cross?" Every penny is going to the flood victims in South Carolina. You could do that. God knows your heart. He knows what you do. But see, that's just an example. That's a need that we have, not in our community, but it's not that far away. And there's people in North Carolina, down around the coast, who are suffering too. And North Carolina Baptists are already mobilizing to go out there and help them. But being a good example for Jesus, here in this church, it's like, when people hear that a person has a need, more than one person will scramble to try to find a solution to that need. The Murphys, Bob and Gertrude Murphy, they wanted to get back to church. They wanted a ride. They needed a ride. And we put that information out, and different ones were talking, and Bob and Gertrude are here today. See, that's being a good example for Jesus. Whether it's helping out a fellow Christian or helping strangers, we can be a good example. We can, when there's a death in the community and you take a pot of food, and that is being a good example for Jesus. You show the love of Christ in everything you do. But also entrust biblical truths to reliable disciples. This takes us back to the idea of disciple making. And see, when you are in the role of a disciple maker, whether it's one person or a whole class of people, then you have the responsibility to study the Word and then pass that Word on to people. And when you do that, they're going to become disciples because they're going to see what I've been saying is true. They're going to see that it's profitable to study this book. And then finally, minister in the name of Christ. Minister in the name of Christ. And we've already hit on that. Because up there it also says, including difficult times and places. I know those of our church who have been on the disaster relief team, they've gone into situations that were very uncomfortable, where there had been flooding. Perhaps there was no electricity. But minister in Jesus' name in every place, in every situation comes open. You know, just right around here in our community, we can minister in Jesus' name. We can, when we meet people, as fast as we can, you know, we can get into a conversation about the Lord and either give a direct witness of Jesus or an indirect witness of Jesus. You know, you can always give an advertisement for the Lord. If nothing else, just tell him something good that happened in your life that the Lord did. And let them listen to that. Well, it's been kind of scattered today, but I wanted to get this teaching in. Because when we've been talking about walking in the Spirit, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. This is kind of a practical how-to when you're on this subject. Because we go through times in life where we're tempted. We go through times in life where we think we're failing. And we need to know, if we are a believer, we're not a failure. We might mess up, but we can ask God to forgive us, and He will. And then we get back on track. And we're okay. But stay with the Lord. Keep going with the Lord. Don't quit. Don't fall back. Don't slow down. But just stay with the Lord. Today you may have some issues in your life that you need to come pray about. You may have some things that you'd like to give to the Lord. Whatever it may be, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you today. And that's what I always pray for. I pray for two things. I pray that, first of all, there'll be clarity, that people will understand what the message is saying. But then secondly, that the Holy Spirit would work in their heart. Because if He doesn't work in your heart, it's for naught. So I hope today that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And as we have this time of invitation, I want to invite you to come and just do those things that God would lead you to do. Mainly, I pray that you'll walk in the Spirit. Be stronger in the Spirit than you've ever been. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. The truth that it brings. And Lord, we are not perfect, but You are. So today, Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, lead us in the right way. Father, if there's someone here today who does not know Jesus, I pray that today they would come to know You, that they would give You that sin to You, and that they would allow You to bring the victory to them. The victory that You attained for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, I just pray for Your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way among us.